Matthew 16, verse 1, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And in the morning today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. They discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? You remember? Okay. We remember. Do you remember? Thank you. 11. How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread, but be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees? When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" "But what about you? What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Together, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Amen. May God bless all of us with his word. This is the word of God, written in human language for us to understand. The events of Matthew chapter 16 we read now form a dramatical turning point in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read, for the first time, Jesus mentioned the church in verse 18 and openly spoke about his death on the cross. It means Jesus began to prepare his disciples for his arrest, crucifixion, and resurrection. But as we shall see, they were very, very slow in understanding, catching the true meaning of Jesus Christ's teaching. You know, the theme of faith runs through these events in this chapter. In this chapter, we can see 4 kinds of faith and how they relate to Jesus Christ. For example, from verse 1 to 4, no faith tempting Jesus Christ. And Next level is from verse 5 to 12 is little faith of his disciples, misunderstanding Christ. And the third level is saving faith from verse 13 to 19 or 20, saving faith, confessing Jesus Christ. And finally, fourth level is serving faith, following Jesus Christ, from verse 21 to 28. Shall you see first level of faith? No faith of the Pharisees and Sadducees, just challenging and tempting Jesus Christ. Let me read once again from verse 1 to 4. The Pharisees and the Sadducees together. They together came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, When evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And the evening today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Verse 4, the wicked, evil, and adulterous generation looks for miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Already Jesus had mentioned the sign of Jonah before in chapter 12. Jesus then left them and went away. Originally, fundamentally, the Pharisees and Sadducees were diametrically opposed. They were very, very different from each other in their beliefs, in their policies, in their lifestyles. For example, the Pharisees lived their life according to minutiae of the oral and the scribal law. They were traditionalists. They were very, very conservative legalists. They were unbelieving religious party, seeking for self-righteousness. But the Sadducees rejected it completely. The Sadducees are kind of a political party. They were small and wealthy, rich aristocracy, who were collaborationist party and cooperated with the Roman government in order to keep their wealth and privileges. Also, the Pharisees believed in the life after physical death. They believed the spiritual beings, angels, demons. But the Sadducees did not. Also, the Pharisees longed for the Messiah. But Sadducees did not. Sadducees are very, very liberal, secular in their lifestyle. But Pharisees, very, very conservative in their lifestyle. They are very different from each other. They are rivals. But they became perfect one in one area. This area, this purpose is to accuse, eliminate, kill Jesus Christ. They united to challenge Jesus Christ, saying, show us a sign from heaven. They did not lack evidence, but they lacked honesty and humility. Their demand for a sign from heaven revealed the sad condition of their hearts. They are evil, they are wicked, they are adulterous spiritually. Totally no faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus answered to them in verse 4 again, a wicked, evil, and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Yes, as I mentioned already, Jesus had mentioned the sign of Jonah before in chapter 12. In the study of chapter 12, we studied, do you remember? Some time ago. Jesus said in the sign of Jonah, just as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth, under the ground. It means the sign of Jesus' death, Jesus' crucifixion, his burial, and resurrection. It means, yes, the sign of Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection is enough sign, more than enough sign, not only to Israel, but also to all nations, that Jesus is the promised Savior and the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Do you want sign? Do you need more sign to believe in Jesus Christ? Still today, same, Jesus' death and burial and resurrection is enough sign for us to trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. At this point, I won't say the story of the parable, but true story, story of a rich man and Nazareth, a beggar, in Luke chapter 16. This story is like this. There was a rich man who lived luxury every day. Do you live luxury every day? He lived luxury every day, and the beggar laid at his gate. Then one day both died. Then this rich man went hell. The beggar went to the kingdom of heaven. Then this rich man was in torments and agony in hell eternally. But there was no name for the rich man. No name. We cannot see what his name was. It means his name was not written in the book of life. But beggar, even though he was beggar once in this earth, there was a name for him. Nazareth. Nazareth, we remember. It means his name was written in the book of life. Then in hell, that rich man once begged Abraham. It became, once he lived a luxury life in this world, a short time, less than 100 years. But in hell, forever and ever, 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 endlessly, he became a beggar. And Nazareth was a beggar short time, once in this earth, less than 100 years. But in heaven, forever and ever, he lives still today in luxury every day. And that eternal beggar asked Abraham to send Nazareth to his father's house on earth and warn his 5 brothers so that he may not come to hell like him. Then Abraham said to him, "No, no, they have already Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." Then that eternal beggar asked again, "No, if somebody goes to them from death, they will repent." But Abraham said to him again, "No, no. If they do not listen to Moses and prophets, also they will not listen. They will not be convinced. They will not be persuaded, even if somebody rises from the dead." Yes, still today around us, many people want to see sign from heaven, want to see miracle from heaven. But you know, we have enough evidence. We have more than enough provinces. We have the Word of God. We have a Bible. We have so many local churches around us. We have 2,000 years of church history. We have many witnesses around us. Yes. Every single house, how many buildings can you see in this world? Every single house or a building says there is somebody who built that house building, big or small. Yes, there are so many stars in the skies. Each stars in the sky says there is some being, some person who made that star or stars. If that person or if that being who made that star is not a man, that some being must be more wiser, more intelligent, more powerful than a man who built this building, this house building. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies, the stars proclaim work of his hands." That's why Romans 1:20 says, "Since the creation of the world, since the foundation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." That's why, so then no one are being excused. No one can say, "Excuse me." No one can say, "Excuse me," before God. This is the sign of no faith in them for Jesus Christ. And next level is little faith of disciples, misunderstanding. Do you understand what Jesus is teaching you or misunderstand? We need Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the spirit of understanding. Bible says spiritual things can be understood by the ministry of Holy Spirit, by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Shall we see next level of faith? No faith. From verse 5 to 12. "When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. 'Be careful,' Jesus said to them. 'Be on your guard.'" Jesus repeated 2 times. "Be on your guard against the east of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith." Little means almost none. Correct? "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread?" Again, Jesus says, "Be on your guard against the east of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the east used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus had left his confrontation with the Pharisees and Sadducees suddenly, abruptly, and then his 12 disciples had gone with him. Then disciples forgot to take bread, to bring bread. Maybe they worried about bread. Then at this point, Jesus used this opportunity to teach them about the danger of the east of the Pharisees and Sadducees. As we know, the yeast is a key ingredient in bread. Yeast makes flour, dough, rise, becoming bigger and bigger. They thought Jesus was talking about material bread. But the yeast Jesus mentioned in this passage means evil influence, evil teaching of spreading power of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But they misunderstood Jesus' teaching. You know, in the ministry of Jesus on this earth, sometimes, maybe many times, people misinterpreted Jesus' teaching by interpreting them materially when Jesus said spiritually. For example, one day Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Yes, still today we must be born again. Were you born again? Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." Then Nicodemus, he was a very intelligent person. He thought that physical birth and said to Jesus, "How can a man be born again when he is old? He cannot enter second time into his mother's womb to be born again." Also, Jesus said to a Samaritan woman, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Also, the Samaritan woman misunderstood it as material water and said to Jesus, "Yes, sir, give me this kind of water so that I will never thirst again. And so that I will not come here to draw water again." Also, Jesus said to the people one time, "Whoever eats my flesh, my body, and drink my blood has eternal life. I will raise him at the last day." Also, they misunderstood it, physical flesh and physical blood. They said, "It is a hard teaching. Who can understand it? How can he give us his flesh, his body, his blood to eat and drink?" And many of them turned back and no longer followed Jesus Christ. Misunderstanding produces little faith. Misunderstanding produces little, almost none faith. That's why Jesus says two times, "Be on your guard. Be on your guard. Be careful." We must keep Jesus Christ at the center of our Christian faith. And third level of faith is saving faith, confessing Jesus Christ. At least we must reach this kind of faith. Do you have saving faith? Do you have saving faith? It means confessing, proclaiming Jesus Christ. Saving faith is introduced through the mouth of Simon Peter, from verse 13 to 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? What about you? What about you and me today, now and here?" He asked, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you. You are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." In the New Testament, the word, the term church, appears here first time, church. "And the gates of Hades will not overcome it." I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen. Jesus Christ took his disciples to a Gentile territory in the region of Caesarea Philippi. This region, Caesarea Philippi was about 120 miles away from Jerusalem to the northern parts of Palestine. At the time, this region, Caesarea Philippi, was strongly identified with many, many kinds of religions, many, many kinds of idol worships. It has been a center for Baal worship. Do you know Baal? Correct pronunciation, Baal. Baal. Even Greek god Pan, P-A-N, Greek small god Pan had its shrines here. When Philip became ruler in this area, he rebuilt, renamed this city, Caesarea Philippi, after the name Caesar and himself. Then in this area, Jesus asked his 12 disciples, "Who do people say I am? Who do men say I am?" They answered, "Yes, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah." Yes, there are some similar things between Jesus and each of them. For example, John the Baptist's first message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Sometimes John the Baptist's message was very, very strong. "You, brood of vipers," like this, "son of a bitch." more than son of a dog. "You, brood of vipers," snakes, "you children of a snake." Also, Jesus' first message was the same. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Also, Jesus repeated two times, pointing the Pharisees and Sadducees' unbelieving hypocrisy, "You brood of vipers." Elijah was a man of power, man of miracle. Yes, our Lord Jesus is omnipotent. Jeremiah is a crying prophet, weeping prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet of tear, whose tender heart was broken at the sight of the destruction of the nation. Jeremiah was rejected, despised by his own brothers, by his own nation brothers. Like this, Jesus was despised, rejected by men. Jesus was a man of sorrows, man of humility, man of gentleness, familiar with sufferings. Jesus wept at the death of his friend Nazareth, another Nazareth, different Nazareth. But their answers were incorrect, wrong answers. Their belief about Jesus Christ like this could not save them. So Jesus asked 12 disciples again directly, "How about you? Would you ask to your next, how about you?" Then answer to your next, don't ask me how about you, but ask to yourself, how about you? How about you? So I'm asking to myself, how about you? How about you? If anyone else asks these kind of questions, "Who do people say I am? Who do you say I am?" We may think him or her either mad, insane, or arrogant. But in the case of this, please remember, our personal, eternal destiny is determined by our personal answer to this question. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you personally? The most important question through our whole life, we should ask to myself, who is Jesus Christ to me personally? Who is Jesus Christ to you personally? Then Peter answered in verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." At this answer, Jesus was fully pleased, fully satisfied, and said to Peter, "You are blessed. Blessed are you. Still today, if we can confess Jesus Christ, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God," also Jesus will say to us individually, personally, "Blessed are you. You are blessed." What is the meaning of Christ? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ is Messiah. Same meaning. Christ is a Greek word. Messiah is a Hebrew word. The literal meaning of Christ or Messiah is anointed one. At that time, there were three offices anointed by oil: priest, prophet, and king. Priest is representative of men before God by interceding prayer for them. Prophet is the revelation of God before men by speaking the word of God. King is the agents of God over men by protecting, by ruling them according to God's will. And in the Old Testament, all human priests, prophets, kings were the shadow type of real, true, perfect, eternal priest, prophet, and king in one person, who is Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? Yes, still today, Jesus is interceding for us in heaven. Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he that condemns us? Christ Jesus, who died for us, and more than that, who was raised to life, as is at the right hand of God, and also interceding for us." Also, Jesus Christ today is the perfect fulfillment of God's self-revelation. Hebrews 1:2 says, "In these last days, he, God, has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, whom God appointed the heir of all things, through whom, through Jesus Christ, God made the universe." Colossians 2:9 says, "In Christ Jesus, the all of fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Yes, Jesus is our King, King of Kings, our protector, our guider. He is holding us with his almighty hand. Do you feel this? Jesus says, "I give you eternal life. You shall never perish." Why? Because I am holding you with my hands. No one can snatch you out of my almighty hand. And Jesus says continually, verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven." Yes, in our case, same. If we believe in Jesus Christ truly, rightly, with saving faith, it means this is not by our investigation, by our insight, or by our efforts, or by our knowledge or wisdom. Still, it is by the revelation of God, by the ministry of Holy Spirit in his mercy, grace, and love. And then Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church. What is in this sentence, we need to make it clear what is disrupt and what is the church. What we need to make clear in this matter is rock. Rock is not Peter himself. In the Old Testament, rock is used as a symbol of God. The Lord is my rock. Many, many times repeated in the Old Testament. Lord, God is my rock. God is my fortress. Then in this passage, first, fundamentally, this rock means Jesus Christ himself and confession of believers who confess, who proclaim, you are the Christ and Son of the living God. You know, in this sentence, Jesus does not say, you will build your church, or you will build my church, or I will build your church. But Jesus says, I will build whose church? My church, Jesus' church. It means the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. The founder, the builder, the founder, builder of church is Jesus Christ. Also at the same time, the head of church is Jesus Christ. The top line and bottom line of church is Jesus Christ. And also at the same time, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as the living Savior and living Son of God and confess him as the Son of God, Savior, Lord, King, is a living stone. Living stone in the church, according to 1 Peter 2, 5. And church, as I mentioned before, the word, the term church appears first time in the New Testament here, church. What is church? Church. In Greek word, church is ekklesia. Shall we say it together? Ekklesia. Ekklesia. Ek means out of, just like Exodus, out of, E-X. And ekklesia means congregation, assembly, gathering together. So church is not a building. Church is not a building. Church is called out people of God out of this world to establish God's kingdom in this world. Ecclesia means. Let me say again, church is called out people of God out of this world to establish his kingdom, holy kingdom, in this unholy world. This is church. And then Jesus says, the gates of the Hades will never overcome it. What is it? Church, not Peter, church. Gate is a symbol of power or authority. And Hades is a symbol of death. Or hell means the power of death, authority of hell will never destroy church. Why? Because the founder of church is Jesus Christ. The holder of church is Jesus Christ. And then Jesus blessed church. Last verse, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Do you have the key of your apartment? Do you have your key of your car? How many keys do you have in your pocket? But do you have the key of the kingdom of heaven in your pocket? Jesus, who is telling the truth all the time, says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Binding power, binding authority. Whatever you loosing on earth will be loosing in heaven. Loosing power, loosing authority. Yes, today Jesus is giving the key of kingdom of heaven. Jesus is giving the key of salvation to church. Jesus died for the church, and then Jesus entrusts, Jesus gives commission to the church to open or close the gate of the kingdom of heaven. Since Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection until his second coming, it is called the church age. From Jesus' ascension to Jesus' second coming, this period is called what? Church age. During this church age, timeless truth is, it is only church in this world. There are many, many institutions of human beings, many, many human organizations, school, hagwon, office, factory, many, many institutions, organizations. But it is only church. It is only church. It is only church, human organization that Jesus died for and entrusts the authority and power of time. What time? Time. Binding the power of Satan, the power of death, the power of sin. And then loosing. Loosing means setting free, giving freedom to the lost in the name of Jesus Christ. If we confess Jesus Christ as my true Savior and Lord and King, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. We are church. You are a church. You are a member of church. You are a walking church, living church in this world, in this unholy world, to establish his kingdom. Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. May God bless all of us with his blessing upon church. Shall we pray together? Father God, still today, Jesus is asking to us, how about you? How about you? Who do you say I am? The same Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever, asking to all human beings in this world, how about you? Who do you say I am? Because our personal an honest answer to this question will determine our eternal destination, our eternal destiny, our eternal fate, our eternal terminal we will reach. Father God, please help us, anoint us. Be gracious continually upon us. Be compassionate upon us continually so that we may understand your will rightly, correctly, and follow you wherever you may go as your follower, as your disciples, true disciples. Please be with us from first to last through your Spirit, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.